From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his second in a series of messages expounding one of the most beloved passages in the Old Testament Scriptures, chapter 53 of the prophecy of Isaiah. The theme of this chapter is the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. We'll be hearing from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Dross Purged. The text is Zechariah 13 and verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people. And they shall say, The Lord is my God. Grace transmutes us into precious metal, and then the fire and the furnace follow as a necessary consequence. Do we start at this? Would we sooner be accounted worthless, that we might enjoy repose like the stones of the field? That would be to choose the viler part, like Esau, to take the pottage and give up the covenant portion. No, Lord, we will gladly be cast into the furnace rather than be cast out from thy presence. The fire only refines, it does not destroy. We are to be brought through the fire, not left in it. The Lord values his people as silver, and therefore he is at pains to purge away their dross. If we are wise, we shall rather welcome the refining process than decline it. Our prayer will be that our alloy may be taken from us, rather than that we should be withdrawn from the crucible. O Lord, thou triest us indeed. We are ready to melt under the fierceness of the flame. Still, this is thy way, and thy way is the best. Sustain us under the trial, and complete the process of our purifying, and we will be thine forever. Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We've seen that the gospel is a report. That is, through the revelation of Scripture, God has shown Christ to be the only hope of mankind. Sadly, man in his fallen state refuses to believe God's report, and without divine intervention, all people would suffer the fate of eternal punishment. Thankfully, God in His mercy has provided the means for sinners to be redeemed. The second phrase of verse 1 asks, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Faith unto salvation comes to those to whom God's arm is revealed. May the Lord be pleased to reveal His arm to many today. Now to conclude this message called The Rejection of the Gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
You'll notice this, however, from our text, that unbelief feels nothing of the transforming power of the gospel. That's always a mark of an unbelieving heart. It's always the great characteristic of a soul that's steeped in unbelief. There is no experience of the power of God's grace. All that there is in an unbelieving heart is the power of sin, the power of self, the power of pride, the outworking of lust. There is all that is shameful. But in a heart that is unbelieving, there is not a trace of the experience of the power of transforming grace. The arm of the Lord is not revealed. That's the nature of unbelief. The text speaks of the universality of this unbelief. Who hath believed our report? By nature, fallen man is faithless. But I want you to notice this. That is true even when he's well taught. Isaiah was speaking in a nation that was the best taught nation on earth, as far as the things of God went. There never has been a better taught nation than the nation of Israel. But even when men are well taught, they're still unbelievers. See, I want you to get this. Christianity will never be the result of being well educated in the things of the Bible. Christianity will not come to your heart. Christ will not come to your heart simply because you have learned certain doctrines, certain principles, certain facts. A well-taught sinner is just that. He's a well-taught sinner. You need more than information to make you a saint of God. You need to learn more than facts to pass from death unto life. I've always been amazed as I've listened to various radio programs over in the United Kingdom. They have a very different setup of radio there than I've been able to find here in the States, probably because of the funding of it. I have found that they have programs from the serious to the comedy, in which they bring to the fore people from the world of theater, various arts and sciences, schools, from all walks of life. And one thing that has struck me is that on average, those people, just because of their literary training, those people could recite the facts, aye, and indeed great reams of the words of Scripture, better than most preachers. They have been well taught, but they're just well taught sinners. I have been told I would pray that it would not be true. But I have been told that the man who has turned out the best reading of the Scriptures did that reading and was never converted. To be well taught is not to be saved. Not only so, but even those who personally met with Christ still, for the most part, didn't believe. John the Baptist looked at them and he said, "There standeth one among you whom ye know not." Can you imagine how dark the mind of a sinner is when the very God of glory could be standing beside him in human flesh and he wouldn't recognize him? But more than that, when the Lord Jesus Christ spake as never man spake, when he did that which never man did. I mean, the blind man in John 9 could say, "It has not been heard of from the foundation of the world that one born blind should receive his sight." And yet people saw that happen before their very eyes. And yet they did not believe that he was God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. You see, he was the unrecognized Christ. In Acts 2 and 23 we read of men setting out to slay him. He was the unwanted Christ. It's true There is a sinful rejection of the gospel, even in those places where you would expect him to be received. But thank God, there is an answer. And as the end of the text points out, believing is the result of the revelation of the arm of the Lord. Who hath believed our report? Ultimately, you can say, those to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. Now, that's high Calvinism, but it's also Isaiahism, if you want it. It's pure Biblicism. Who believes? The one to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. I want you to think of this. This is the answer to the apparent lack of success of the gospel. Faith, the result of the revelation of God's arm. In other words, the result of the omnipotence of God. Turn over in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. What is that? That's the revelation of the arm of the Lord. Even more clearly, let's turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we will find there in verse 19, Paul's prayer that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Now, who are the people to whom he's speaking? To usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. How do you believe? According to the working of his mighty power. He takes the same thing up in writing to the Colossians. Faith is the result of the arm of the Lord revealed. Now let's get this very clearly in our minds. Men are moral and responsible agents. They are responsible for their unbelief. They are responsible before God for their Christ rejection. But there is a God of sovereign grace who, by the free operation of a spirit, can work in the most darkened and unregenerate heart and can create faith. And when the arm of the Lord is revealed, suddenly the Saul of Tarsus is knocked off his horse and he confesses the very Christ whom he had been cursing as his Lord to be obeyed. When the arm of the Lord is revealed, sinners become saints by faith in Jesus Christ. And that arm of the Lord is going to give success to the gospel. The Word of God, attended with power, can convert. It can bring sinners under conviction and then bring them to Christ. It can make sinners suddenly holy. That's the power of the gospel. And not only so, but it can bring the church into the experience of revival. Who hath believed our report? I've given you one answer. Those to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. But think of another answer. Who hath believed our report? Some can say, I have. And that's the best answer. Who hath believed the scriptural report of the gospel? I have. I wonder, can you say that? Have you believed the gospel to the saving of your soul? Have you believed in the Christ of the gospel? Have you received him as your personal Savior? Do you personally know the arm of the Lord stretched out? Have you been made the object of saving grace? Have you felt the life-transforming power of God through this gospel? Do you know the forgiveness of sins? Do you know the peace that comes from having Christ in your heart? Who hath believed our report? Christ is worthy to be believed His gospel is worthy to be trusted. I wonder, have you taken him? Will you take him? Even now before God, are you willing to bow the knee in simple, humble penitence and cry, Lord Jesus, I own you as Lord and Savior. Deal with my sin. Save my soul. Come into my life. I believe the witness of the report of the gospel. I rest on Christ as he's revealed in the gospel. And I receive his invitation. Even today. Who hath believed our report? We have a scriptural report. We have a sinful rejection. And we have a saving revelation of the gospel. You're going to fall into the category of those who sinfully reject or to whom the gospel is savingly revealed. I wonder where you stand today. Christ has died. Yea, rather is risen again, and is even now ascended to the right hand of God. Christ has died and risen. What a tragedy that you should know all that and perish at the end of the day. Who hath believed? Will you believe? And you'll find as you exercise faith, not only is that faith the result of the arm of the Lord revealed, but it will in itself be the cause of the further and continued, yea, eternal revelation of the strength of God on your behalf to save you, to keep you, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts and bring every last man, woman, and child here personally to believe Christ presented in the gospel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. We thank thee for the report of the gospel of Christ. We do thank thee, our Father and our God, that Jesus Christ is mighty to save and strong to deliver. Oh, we pray that this Lord's day thou wilt move with grace. We pray, our God, that thou wilt save the lost. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant faith to faithless hearts. How we thank thee for the report of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for enlightening our hearts and minds with its truth. Thank you, Lord, for making bare that strong right arm for our deliverance. Lord, bless the preaching of thy word across this nation today. We would cry with Isaiah, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Oh, let us see the mighty outworking of God's power and God's grace in this our day and generation. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.